From NPR News in Washington, I'm Dave Mattingly. Rainy weather and clouds are keeping Space Shuttle Discovery in orbit for another day. NASA tried to bring Discovery back to Florida this morning, but the weather would not cooperate. Judith Smelser with member station WMFE is at the Kennedy Space Center. She says the astronauts are looking at a 15th day in orbit after resupplying the International Space Station.
NASA was hoping the weather would clear in time for Discovery's second landing opportunity at 10:23 a.m. Eastern Time. But just before 9 o'clock, mission managers in Houston said there were still too many clouds around the Shuttle Landing Facility, or SLF.
There was a lot of cause for optimism with breaking up all around the SLF, but in the end of the day, it's just too low of a ceiling of visibility.
Discovery has two chances to land at Kennedy Space Center tomorrow morning, along with three touchdown opportunities at Edwards Air Force Base in California. NASA says the crew has enough supplies to stay in orbit until Wednesday. For NPR News, I'm Judith Smelser at the Kennedy Space Center.
They're marking the anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombing today with ceremonies there. It was 15 years ago today that a truck bomb ripped apart the Murrah Federal Building, killing nearly 170 people. Michael Cross with member station KOSU says Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano is among those in Oklahoma City this morning.
The ceremony this morning includes the reading aloud of the 168 men, women, and children who died when a truck bomb exploded outside the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building in 1995. The executive director of the Oklahoma City National Memorial and Museum, Kerry Watkins, says the remembrance is a chance to be forward-looking rather than just focusing on the tragedy.
Sometimes we get caught up in the negative, but I mean, there's so many great stories of success, kids who've gone to college off the scholarship money, who've become doctors and lawyers. And so I think we're going to focus on those kinds of stories, and let people see the resiliency of the community.
On Wednesday, the Memorial and Museum will honor former President Clinton with a Reflections of Hope Award. The week ends with more than 23,000 runners taking part in the 10th annual Memorial Marathon. For NPR News, I'm Michael Cross in Oklahoma City.
Toyota's delay in notifying federal safety officials about gas pedal problems is going to cost the automaker a record fine. The Transportation Department says Toyota this morning agreed to pay the $16.4 million fine. The Japanese automaker knew about sticky gas pedals in millions of its cars, trucks, and SUVs. They knew about it last September, but didn't speak up until January. Federal law requires automakers to notify the government within 5 business days. Getting to and from Europe remains a no-go for thousands of would-be air travelers in Europe. This is day 5 of worries about volcanic ash from Iceland. At last check on Wall Street, stocks had moved higher, the Dow was up 33 points. This is NPR News. In Iraq, there's going to be a partial recount of that country's election results. And NPR's Quill Lawrence in Baghdad says this could be a boost for Iraq's incumbent prime minister.
Iraq's Independent Electoral Commission will hold a manual recount only in Baghdad, some 2.5 million ballots. Observers fear that any major change in the results will draw charges of foul play from the losing side. No single bloc won enough votes in the March 7th poll to form a majority government, leaving Shiite, Sunni, and Kurdish parties in a labyrinthine process of bargaining to make a ruling coalition. Sitting Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki had campaigned to recount votes in at least 5 provinces ever since the results put him slightly behind a secular Shiite challenger, Ayad Alawi. Both UN and American sources strongly discouraged the recount because they considered the election relatively free and fair, and also because it guarantees a delay in the process of government formation, which may now last until September. Quill Lawrence, NPR News, Baghdad.
An earthquake shook parts of Afghanistan this morning, killing at least 7 people. The quake struck the mountains north of the capital and measured 5.3. It struck at about 1 a.m. local time while most people were sleeping. One Afghan official says more than 300 homes were damaged and some roads are blocked by quake-triggered landslides. Officials say the quake was felt in Kabul as well as in the neighboring countries of Uzbekistan and Tajikistan. The death toll from last week's powerful earthquake in China is nearing 2,000. That's the latest word from state media in Beijing. It says more than 200 people are still missing. That quake struck a remote area of western China last Wednesday. I'm Dave Mattingly, NPR News in Washington.